Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time. And after last week with our initial reaction to the 2018 NFL Draft, now we're able to go ahead and dig a little bit deeper into each team, including your team, going division by division, including your team's division here on the College Draft Podcast. Look, there's a lot of podcasts out there that pop up a month or two before the draft. They might have a post-draft show. Not us, baby. We are year-round because we know that you have an insatiable appetite for this stuff. He is the superstar of this show, Fran Duffy. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles, who you can check out on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, former offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, bounced around, had a blast, got hurt. Hey, whatever. It was a good job in my 20s. And now we get to go pick by pick, not really pick by pick, team by team through each division. And I guess we'll start there, Fran, just in terms of the structure. I remember this from last year, maybe the last couple years. I really like the way we go about this.
Yeah, so really I think when you look at the way that we're going to look at these teams, I think we'll separate into four kind of categories. And there might be one or two guys that fit each category, but we'll start with the top pick, who is the player that early on, maybe it's their first round pick, maybe it's their second round pick, the guy that I'm most excited about for that team moving forward. Then we've got the sleeper selection, which is a day three guy that I think has a good shot at being an impact player. Then a we'll see. So look, all these teams, they obviously feel very confident with the selections that they made a couple weeks ago. So now there are going to be some that I'm going to look at and I'm going to be like, all right, I'm intrigued to see how this is going to pan out. Maybe I wouldn't have selected the pick that high, but we'll just see how it'll pan out. And then the undrafted gem, just a guy that, based off of reports, because not every team is official yet, but based off of reports, who they brought in via undrafted free agency, that has me the most intrigued.
I love it. By the way, speaking of love, I absolutely love my mom and I love my wife, which is why I'm getting them awesome, awesome Mother's Day gifts from either 1-800-Flowers.com, clicking on the microphone in the upper right and using the code football for unbelievable flowers deals, or delicious chocolate-covered strawberries over at Sherry's Berries, berries.com, using the code Ross Tucker. So if you haven't gotten your mom anything yet, or your wife who's a mom or whatever, go to 1-800-Flowers.com in the upper right, click on the microphone, put in the code football, or go to berries.com, again, upper right, click the microphone, put in the code Ross Tucker, or you can just take your wife or your mom's phone and download the draft app and put in the code Ross. So those are your three options for Mother's Day. Let's start, Fran, with the Cleveland Browns, the top pick for them in your mind.
The guy that excites me most from their first couple picks, and again, they had 2 picks in the first round, 2 picks in the second round. The guy that I'm most excited about is Nick Chubb, the 35th overall pick, the running back from Georgia. Obviously, look, Denzel Ward is a great player. Austin Corbett is a really good player, guys that I'm a big fan of. And I give them their due credit. They went and they got their guy, number one, at Baker Mayfield. But when I look at this division in the AFC North, if you're going to win that division, you're going to want to be able to run the football late in the regular season, you know, November, December, when it starts to get cold. Nick Chubb is that physical style of runner that I think will do a really good job up there for the Cleveland Browns. You put him with the Carlos Hyde. You have Duke Johnson out of the backfield as a really strong role player as well. I'm really excited to see how Nick Chubb performs in this offense.
Sleeper?
A sleeper, I would say, is probably going to be the wide receiver from Florida, Antonio Callaway. Now, you know, he's got his share of issues. The only reason he would be considered a sleeper is because he's got the off-field issues. He didn't play a down of football this past season in 2017 due to being suspended. Then you look at what he can bring to the field. He's not a finished product. I'm not one that would say, oh, he definitely would have been a first-round pick had he been clean off the field. But this kid's got ability, you know, and in terms of being a downfield threat, he shows flashes as a route runner. This kid's really, really intriguing. So in terms of all their day three picks, and you look at it, it goes, okay, Callaway, they took the linebacker from Memphis, Jannard Avery, kind of a tweener inside-outside guy. Damian Ratley is a traits player from Texas A&M, the wide receiver. And then Simeon Thomas is a big corner from Louisiana Lafayette. Of all those guys, I feel the best about Antonio Callaway.
Give me your Will C's.
To me, it would just be the guys they took in the first round, Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. And, you know, we've talked about Baker Mayfield a lot on this podcast over what feels like the last 19 years. But I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, he certainly has talent. There's no question about that. I'm excited to see him and watch him develop over the course of the next couple of years. It looks like he may not be the starter this year with Tyrod Taylor there, but it's going to be very interesting. Look, you got to give them a lot of credit where everybody would have said, yeah, Sam Darnold's the slam dunk pick. They stuck by their convictions and they took their guy. They've come out in the media numerous times over the last couple of weeks with all the different interviews that they've done explaining why they took their guy at number one. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops. And then at number four, Denzel Ward. I really like Denzel Ward. I thought he was the top pure cover corner in this draft. I do wonder, though, if Bradley Chubb or another guy that was probably a better overall prospect would have made more sense there. So I don't think I'm the only one to say that, yeah, I probably would have liked a Darnold-Bradley Chubb combination there. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, Denzel Ward's going to have to match up against a lot of big-time, you know, bigger wide receivers in this league. So it's going to be interesting to see how he develops. I think he's a really talented player. It's just a matter of how he's going to match up against some of the big receivers we'll see on a weekly basis in the NFL.
Give me your undrafted gem for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, my top pick was the running back from Georgia. To me, the best undrafted player was the defensive tackle from Georgia, Trenton Thompson, a player that was considered a five-star recruit coming out of high school, high motor kid, just never put it all together at Georgia. You know, he had injuries. You know, there were some issues there with him from a medical standpoint. He just couldn't put it all together. Consistency was an issue. But if you took his top 10 plays and you said, okay, here's what this kid is, you'd think he was a top 50 pick. He's very, very intriguing. I like his athleticism. He competes in the trenches in the run game. I'm a fan of his kid. I think he could develop into a potential starter down the line. I'd keep an eye on Trenton Thompson.
Top pick in your mind for the Bengals?
So I think when you look at the Bengals, I'd go with their first round pick and Billy Price out of Ohio State. Yeah, it's a little bit earlier than a lot of people thought, especially considering the injury. But when you watch the film, I mean, this kid is every bit of a first round pick. He's solid in pass protection. He's a mauler on the ground in terms of the run game. I love watching this kid play. He's a technician. He's a little bit undersized, but he knows how to use his hands. His feet never stop. I'm a big fan of Billy Price, and of all their top picks, he's the guy that really stands out most to me.
All right, and then a sleeper for the Bengals?
The sleeper would be Mark Walton from Miami. And look, when you watch Mark Walton, there are a couple flaws with him that you say, all right, well, you know, is this guy ever going to really reach the ceiling of being a starter? You know, I don't know if he always sees things super clearly. He's not, he didn't test extremely well, you know, in terms of his size. You know, is he going to be able to carry a full workload? But I feel like they've got that right now in Joe Mixon. They don't need a guy that can take, you know, carry 20, 25 times a game. But when you look at what Mark Walton can bring to the table, number one, he's a really good receiver. He's an excellent blocker. He's a great special teamer. He's very quick. He can make plays in the passing game in terms of being a matchup guy. I think Mark Walton's going to be an excellent complement to Joe Mixon down the road and kind of be what I think they want Giovanni Bernard to be. And I think Mark Walton can fit that role. I would have pegged him as more than a fourth-round pick before the injury. And I think the injury this past year, his ankle injury, really kind of hampered him. He didn't look like he was all the way back with it at the combine. He didn't test particularly well. So Mark Walton, to me, is a guy that I'm really excited about from this draft class.
Who is your Will C from the Bengals?
Yeah, I would go with their first third-round pick, and that's the defensive end from Ohio State, Sam Hubbard. Now, you know, Marvin Lewis, they're in Cincinnati. They always seem to have a thing for longer defensive ends. And Sam Hubbard's got NFL size. He's got NFL athleticism in terms of his fluidity, his change of direction. He's not the most explosive kid. he's only really been playing football at a high level for a few years. He was a former lacrosse player in high school. He's got, you know, the legend goes that Urban Meyer saw him and first saw him on campus in high school playing dodgeball in gym, and that's where he really kind of piqued his interest. I think when you look at Sam Hubbard, he's not a technician right now. He's not super explosive. He's not super powerful. So I say, all right, well, then how are you going to win at the next level as a pass rusher? He doesn't need to be that guy right now, right out of the gate in day one, because they've got some starters there. But I think in over the long run, I want to see him continue to develop as a pass rusher to be worth a third-round pick. It'll be interesting to see how he develops.
So what about the undrafted gem for the Bengals?
Yeah, they picked up a safety from Hawaii that I was really intrigued by watching him on film, and that's Trayvon Henderson, a guy that, you know, I watched him coming into the year as a junior and then watched him again. And when every time I watched him, I came away thinking, you know what, this guy's an NFL player. He's pretty instinctive. He's aggressive downhill. I think he can play either free safety or strong safety. I probably like him a little bit more in the latter, but I like his position versatility, his scheme versatility. Trayvon Henderson is a guy that, to me, stands out the most for their undrafted picks.
Steelers, top pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the second round pick, James Washington. Yeah, and this was a tough one to come away with, because I thought that they had one of the draft classes that, you know, I'm looking at and I'm wondering, all right, what's the identity here? What's the idea behind all these picks? But you look at James Washington, he's a good, first of all, you have to trust their wide receiver evaluations. They've been hitting them out of the park in recent years in terms of talent. But, you know, James Washington is excellent at the catch point. I really like the player. He's not going to be a deep threat. They don't need him to be a deep threat. They've got plenty of guys that can go and attack down the field. I think when you look at James Washington, really, you're betting on him at the catch point, his ability to be a possession-type receiver. I think he's got the ability to turn into a starter down the road. You pair him with Antonio Brown. You put him in there with Juju Smith-Schuster. I think that those guys will mesh pretty well. I was a fan of James Washington overall.
Sleeper selection for the Steelers?
I would go with Jalen Samuels. I'm just really intrigued to just see how they're going to use him, you know, because he played all over the place for NC State. He was a receiver. He was a fullback. He was a tight end. He was a running back. They're listing him at running back. My guess is he's going to be more of, like, you know, what we would have considered a few years ago as like a West Coast fullback. I've compared him in the past to a Marcel Reese in terms of how he can be used. I think he'll probably be used that way. I don't think that he's going to be seen as, you know, just a prototypical, eye back, you know, and just sub in for Le'Veon Bell. I think he's going to be used in a lot of different ways. I'm really, really intrigued to see how he's used overall in the grand scheme of things.
I kind of have an idea who your Will C will be for the Steelers.
Yeah, it's Terrell Edmunds from Virginia Tech, their first-round pick. They took him 28th overall. We had heard some buzz late in the process that he was going to be considered a first-round pick by some teams. Ended up going that in that range. That was a little bit surprising to me. They talked about his versatility and his ability to play in sub-package. So they were a big dime team last year, Ross, where they played with six defensive backs. So I have no doubts that he's going to be on the field. I would assume that down the line they see him as an every-down player, as a three-down player. You're not taking him if he's not that. But it'll be interesting to see how the overall he's used, because over the course of his career at Virginia Tech, he was a free safety at times. He was a strong safety down in the box at times. I never thought that he was particularly instinctive on the back end, and I didn't think he was overall, you know, really impactful down near the line of scrimmage either. So I'm just really interested to see how he pans out, because he's a player that obviously he's got the bloodlines, obviously his brother, but also his father was a great player as well in the league. So, you know, you look at Terrell Edmunds, and, you know, I'm just intrigued to see how he's used early and then what kind of player he develops into on the long haul, because I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I thought he was kind of, you know, this is the second time I've used this term, this podcast, but I thought he was kind of a tweener when I watched him on film over the course of his career.
How about the undrafted gem for the Steelers?
Yeah, I would go with the kid from Toledo, Ola Adeni. He's a pass rusher, a defensive end. I think that I'll be interested, number one, to see where he fits in their base. If they view him as an outside guy, or if he's a guy that will play as a five technique and they kind of put some weight on him. He's got the frame to be able to do it. He's a long-armed kid. When I watched Adeni, I thought he was a draftable player in this class, especially because the edge group wasn't particularly strong. But to be able to get him an undrafted free agency, I thought was pretty good. He's the guy looking at that list of reported names for them that really stands out most.
The other really intriguing team in the AFC North is obviously the Baltimore Ravens. Who's the top pick in your mind for the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I mean, they obviously view Lamar Jackson to be their quarterback of the future, and to be able to not say, okay, we're going to take him at 25. We talked about this last week, but you know, they risked losing Lamar Jackson and traded up back into 32, and was able to nab him up there. To me, that's the guy that I'm most excited about. I can't wait to see how Marty Mordenwig and James Urban, who are both on the staff here in Philadelphia when Michael Vick kind of revitalized his career in 2010, how they're able to use Lamar Jackson, because obviously they have very similar skill sets. It'll be interesting to see how he's used, if they have a package for him early. My guess is they probably would early on. I'm excited, man. He's a ton of fun to watch. I can't wait to watch how he develops here in the NFL.
Wow, so that's who you think the Ravens' top pick is. That's interesting. What about the sleeper selection for the Ravens?
I would go with Jordan Lasley, the wide receiver from UCLA. And when you look at this kid, I think watching him on film, Ross, I don't know if we talked about this, but a guy that came to mind when I watched Jordan Lasley was Joe Horn. And it was a little bit of a throwback in that he's not, you know, Joe Horn wasn't a guy that like consistently just ran by people. He wasn't a guy that consistently just, you know, was like this technician that just, you know, got people turned around and, you know, duped guys out of their cleats on a weekly basis. But he just found ways to get it done. And when I watched this kid and I'm like, yeah, he's, you know, he was used vertically, but I don't think he's like a true deep threat, kind of like a James Washington. You know, he's not a finished product right now as a route runner. He's not a guy that goes up and consistently can go up and win over a guy in a jump ball. But we play in and play out, he just found ways to win at the catch point. I kind of like this kid. I know that there were issues there, and that's why he fell this far. I think he had some DUIs and stuff like that. I think he was suspended a couple times. So there's a reason why he fell at this point. But in terms of talent, I thought Jordan Lasley was pretty intriguing. So he could be a guy that, honestly, for a team that's looking for starting receivers, he could be a guy down the road that turns into exactly that.
Who is your will see for the Ravens?
Well, I would say it would just be Hayden Hurst. And look, I like Hayden Hurst. I think he's a good player. My question will be his overall ceiling. He's a little bit older. He'll be a 24-year-old rookie. I don't know. I think he's kind of maxed out in terms of what he is physically. He's not a guy that's going to overpower people. He's not a technician right now as a route runner. He's got excellent hands. He catches everything, and that obviously will serve him well. Joe Flacco had the most success when he had strong play at the tight end spot, and if they do play Lamar Jackson early, there's nothing better for a rookie quarterback than a solid tight end, as the saying goes. So, you know, I think that he's going to have a role. I just wonder if he's going to be overall, if they're going to look back on that and say, yeah, he was worth the 25th pick in the draft. I think that's going to be the big question I've got moving forward, is when we look back 4 or 5 years from now and we look at this pick, are we going to say, yep, this was a really good pick for them at 25th overall?
What about the undrafted gem for the Ravens?
They had a few names that I thought were pretty intriguing, but the guy that stood out most was Christian Locatore from LSU, defensive tackle. He was at the Senior Bowl. He's been there, I think he was a sixth-year senior. I think he had an injury last year that hurt him from coming out in 2016 or 2017. So, you know, you look at this kid, he competed at a high level. I think he's got lots of talent. To me, there are a few other names I could have gone with, but Locatore is the one that I think has the most upside moving forward.
So it's North Day here on the College Draft Podcast. That wraps up the AFC North. Let's get to the NFC North and the top pick for the Chicago Bears.
Slam dunk, Roquan Smith, best linebacker in the draft, top 6 or 7 player overall in the draft. They got him at number 8. I thought it was great value. He could play sideline to sideline. He's instinctive. He's tough. He could play the run at extremely high level. He's always where he needs to be. I thought this was a slam dunk pick.
What about a sleeper selection for the Bears?
I thought that Joel Iebuniwe, the linebacker from Western Kentucky, was the guy that most intrigued me from day 3. He's similar to Roquan in some ways in that he's a little bit undersized. He's a sideline-to-sideline guy. He's really smart. He's another guy who's not afraid to come downhill and play against the run. I was a little bit skeptical of his abilities in coverage, not from an athletic standpoint, but just from an instinct standpoint. But this kid can play downhill. I like this kid, especially in the 4th round. I think he's got starting potential. He could be the guy starting next to Roquan in year 2 or year 3.
The Will C pick for the Bears?
I think, you know, some people may take this the wrong way because I know he was really high on a lot of people's boards. I liked Anthony Miller. I didn't like love Anthony Miller's upside. You know, I think he's another player who may be a little bit maxed out. Some people have compared him to a potentially like an Antonio Brown down the road, and he could develop into that. I wasn't sure I saw that. He's not a guy that's going to just run by people consistently. I didn't think that he was a guy that's going to consistently go up and over people either. He is a technician. He's one of the better route runners in this class. I really like Anthony Miller. Don't get me wrong. They got good value there in the third round. I would just temper expectations in terms of what he's going to be down the road.
And then the undrafted gem for the Bears.
Yeah, the corner from Dubuque, Michael Joseph. I like this kid. You're watching him on film. I watched him because the senior cornerback class wasn't very strong, right? So as I'm watching all these corners, I'm like, all right, is there any guy that I think has potential to be able to be a starter on the outside? When he got invited to the Senior Bowl and accepted his invitation, I got excited. I said, all right, let me watch this kid. Maybe there's something there. And I like this tool. He's a big kid. He can play the ball pretty well in the air. Obviously, a very small level of competition. He played D3, so there's going to be a pretty big learning curve there. But I think that they got a really nice project, a guy that could be a starter down the road. I saw that from Michael Joseph on film.
Let's get to now the Detroit Lions and their top pick.
I love the first-round pick, Frank Ragnow. You know, we talked about him in the fall, and I said that he's got first-round talent. Big kid. He's tough. He's nasty. He's got a really good feel for the zone run game. I think he's athletic enough to get out in space. He's got positional versatility as well. He can play guard or center. Sounds like he might play guard early on. I really like the pick. I think that was a slam dunk for them in the first round.
The sleeper selection for the Lions. I think I'm sharing a brain with you on this one.
Yeah, Tyrell Crosby. I mean, he was like the second or third tackle for me. I have to go back and look at my notes. He was like the second or third tackle for me in this draft. And for him to fall as far as he did, I think there was a mention on one of the broadcasts about like concussions or something like that. I don't think it was fully expanded on. But, you know, to get this kid where you did on day three, was the fifth or sixth round, I thought was outstanding value because, you know, you've got a guy who's a road grader up front. He's powerful. He can move people. He's still a work in progress in pass protection. I think that's why we'll probably see him being mentioned more as a guard. But I really like the kid on tape. I know you did as well.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought I could see him maybe at guard, but he came off the rock in the run game. How about the Lions? We'll see.
I really liked Kerryon Johnson. I was one of the people that probably had him, you know, in that second round range. So I don't question the value here or anything. It's just a matter of, you know, are you going to be able to complement him? You know, because Kerryon Johnson is not going to be, you know, what you would say a three down player at a high level in the NFL. I think he's a really good first and second down back, much like what we talked about with like a Nick Chubb, who I had as my top pick for the Cleveland Browns. With Kerryon Johnson, I think you want to be able to complement him. It seems like Ameer Abdul is on the way out. You hope Theo Riddick can continue to perform at a high level and be that guy for now. You hope to find a complement for him down in the future as well. So Kerryon Johnson, to me, really strong first and second down back. You just want to make sure you'll be able to complement him to pick up on some of his weaknesses as well.
The undrafted gem in your mind for the Lions.
I gave a draftable grade to DeAndre Goolsby, the tight end from Florida. He's an athletic kid. He's competitive. He can line up in line or out wide. I think I like him a little bit more out in the slot as opposed to in line, but he did compete when he was asked to block. I think you look at this kid, he is similar in ways to what Trey Burton was coming out of Florida a few years ago. And I think when you've got that skill set, that's going to go a long way. I thought the Lions got a little bit of a sleeper there when they got him in undrafted free agency.
How about the Green Bay Packers, who I felt like had a pretty good draft? How about their top pick in your mind?
Yeah, I mean they nailed it with the first two picks. They, you know, when you look at Mike Pettine and the way that he wants to play football, the way he wants to play defense, is that he wants strong man cover guys to be able to mix and match things up front. In terms of a pressure standpoint, well, you go and you get one of the best, probably arguably the best man cover corner in the draft in Jaire Alexander. You pick up a future first round pick in the process. I thought that was outstanding maneuvering there by the Green Bay Packers. Then they get Josh Jackson, who's got outstanding ball skills in the second round. So to be able to get those two guys with their first two picks, I thought was outstanding for Green Bay.
Sleeper selection for the Packers?
Yeah, I went with Cole Madison from Washington State because when I watched him in the fall, he really reminded me of David Bakhtiari from like everything, like body type, the way that he carried himself, the way that he pass protected, the way he got out in space, like the way that he moved, everything reminded me of Bakhtiari. And I kind of thought similarly, like, yeah, he could probably play tackle, but he's probably better at guard. But I could see a team liking him at tackle. He ends up going to the Green Bay Packers, and I'm interested to see how he pans out, because, you know, this is a team that obviously has had interchangeable parts at the up front and the offensive line over the last couple of years. I'll be interested to see if he fits in at either tackle or guard. My guess is it'll be the latter.
The we'll see for the Packers?
Yeah, I went with Oren Burks, the linebacker from Vanderbilt, because, you know, I watched him on film, and I wasn't crazy about him when I watched him previously. You know, this was back in the fall. A former safety who made the transition to linebacker. He tested off the charts. I didn't really think that he always played to that. He showed excellent power at the combine. I didn't think he necessarily always played to that either. So this is a guy that I wish I saw more of that athleticism on film, but he's got all the intangibles. He's got NFL size. There's something to work with there. I just wanted to see that athleticism translate more to the football field.
Let's move on to the undrafted gem for the Packers.
Yeah, they reportedly picked up a corner, Chris Cisse from Portland State, who's got great size. He's over 6 foot, I believe, athletic kid, an Oregon transfer. So keep an eye on Chris Cisse. He's a guy who's got NFL talent on the perimeter.
Last but not least, how about the Minnesota Vikings and the top pick for them in your mind?
Yeah, they took one of my favorite players overall in the draft, and Mike Hughes from Central Florida. He's got inside-outside versatility. I think he will translate really well into the slot at the next level, but he can play outside as well. So when they're in base, I think he'll play outside eventually in his career after they, once they decide what they're doing there with Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes. So he's got the ability to play outside, but then also slide inside. Competitive kid. He fits that defensive identity to a T. So I really like what they did there in round one.
And obviously, there was some concern about him off the field that the Vikings were comfortable with. The sleeper selection for the Vikings?
Yeah, the tight end from Central Michigan, Tyler Conklin, was the guy that really stood out to me as well. He's a little bit undersized, but the kid's deceptively athletic. He's competitive. He catches everything. He's a former basketball player at the college level. I like Tyler Conklin watching him. I think that he's got the ability to be a really strong complementary piece in an NFL pass game.
The we'll see pick.
I went with a tackle, Brian O'Neill from Pitt. Really athletic kid. He's got great feet, former tight end. So he's got all the movement skills you want. I just don't know if he's all the way there technically. He went the second round, probably a little bit earlier than I would have liked, but you know, with the guys that have, you know, that frame and that athleticism, they're going to go high. You look at Colton Miller going top 15, same idea. I think with Brian O'Neill, I think there's going to be some patience needed. He's got tools, but you just got to work with them.
Okay, so then the undrafted gem for the Vikings.
A player that I compared to Brian Robeson, you know, when I watched him on film, was Hercules Mata'afa from Washington State, a guy who lined up inside a defensive tackle at 250-plus pounds. So I was going to have to transition more to an outside role moving forward. He's got that frame to play off the edge, but he can also, obviously, he's got the experience doing it. So in sub-package, you want him to slide inside. He can do that, much like Robeson. I think Mata'afa is an undrafted player. You could do a lot worse. He's got upside to be a role player at the next level. I think that he could fit in well there in Minnesota.
So, why did he go undrafted?
It's a good question. You know, I think that's where the intangible stuff comes into play, and we're not quite sure how he did in terms of, like, interviews and how teams felt about him. I would say also that, you know, if we're going to throw the tweener label around, like, you know, some teams may even worry, like, all right, like, is he going to be able to make the transition outside? He won on the inside, Ross. They, with Washington State, they do a ton of slants and twists up front. Like, it's pretty much everything they do. That's why he was able to last as a 250-pound defensive tackle. It wasn't because he was, like, winning at the point of attack, but because, you know, he'll line up in the B gap, he's slanting into the A gap, he's slanting into the C gap, he's going opposite B gap. They asked him to do a lot of different things from a movement standpoint. He wasn't asked to win with his hands as a pass rusher, so he's not a finished product there. So I think when you look at it, like, all right, he's going to have to change positions, he's not a finished product. If the interviews didn't go well, then that would speak to why he may have fallen out.
I want to get back quickly to Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward and just make the point that, you know, in terms of the we'll see, you're right, because even if Denzel Ward's a good player, you know, you got to compare him to Bradley Chubb and the people that they passed over. And the Baker Mayfield, I don't know if we talked about this, Fran, but, you know, just the more I dive into it, man, like, I don't know if you listened to Andrew Brandt on the Business of Sports podcast with Baker's agent last week, but Baker signed with his agent within a few minutes of meeting him for the first time. And I don't know, you know, he said, my dad likes you, and Blake Bell, a former Oklahoma teammate, liked him. So it's not like he hadn't done the background work, you know, and I guess his dad had vetted him out. Maybe his dad said that's who he liked the most, and Baker wasn't dealing with it during the season. But, man, that's a big decision to make after a couple minutes after meeting a guy. And then, you know, I don't know, man. He'll end up being awesome maybe, but he's just not my cup of tea. Like, he was, like, guaranteed to come on Sirius with us one Friday, and I told the story on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and they had been trying to get him on, and Charlie Weiss thought he was the top quarterback, so they were going to get him on with Charlie and myself, and he's like, he's coming on. Like, it was like two Fridays before the draft. He's definitely coming on, definitely, definitely. And then that day, we get an email that says, you know, he missed his flight yesterday, so he's flying back this morning, so he can't come on with you guys. So in my mind, Fran, I just sit there and I think, okay, so maybe he did miss a flight, or maybe they're just covering for him or whatever. He doesn't feel like doing, I don't know. But let's just say he did miss a flight. Like, I just can't picture Drew Brees or Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz or guys. I just can't picture them missing a flight. Now, maybe Roethlisberger or Brett Favre, when they were 22, would miss a flight, and maybe he'll be one of those guys, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and that's I kind of feel the same way for, you know, similar type of reasons. You know, I think that it's just going to be interesting, man. It's going to be because, like you said, there have been guys in the past that have had, you know, similar personalities that have obviously had plenty of success in the NFL. I think there are other questions with Baker Mayfield in terms of his ability to translate to the NFL. It's going to, you know, him and Todd Haley, like, that's going to be a really interesting dynamic. It's going to be a really interesting dynamic, especially with him not being a starter early on. It's just going to be a lot of fun to follow. There's the reports now that they may be on Hard Knocks. That'll be interesting content to take in this summer. It's going to be interesting, man. It's good because when you have two top five picks, like, you hope that you nail both. You got to nail one. We'll see how it looks when we go back a few years from now. Obviously, they have a lot of smart people in the building there. You know, a lot of guys that are really well respected, both as coaches and as personnel guys. So it's going to be very interesting to watch how that class overall develops.
That'll do it for our first recap college draft podcast in terms of going through it by division. I really enjoy getting a chance to get I like your sleeper selection. I like your we'll see. I like the undrafted gem for each team. It's a lot of fun. By the way, and I didn't get a chance to study Austin Corbett before the draft. Did you get a chance to watch him, Fran?
Oh, I love Corbett. I think that he's very similar to guys like Forrest Lamp and Joel Bitonio from the last couple of years in that, yeah, they're college tackles and they could probably moonlight there. Like, they could probably finish a game for you there, but you really like them better inside.
Interesting. Well, I'll be curious to study him because they're starting him out at left tackle and giving him a chance to replace Joe Thomas. That'll do it for the College Draft Podcast. Always check out Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3. He's got all kinds of stuff. Eagle on the Sky and the Sky podcast, Journey to the Draft, all that stuff. And, of course, you know we've got all kinds of shows for you. Fantasy Feast, which will be coming out today, by the way, a day early this week. Fantasy Feast, of course, Even Money for the gambling stuff, Ross Tucker Football podcast. And remember, Mother's Day, 100flowers.com, use the code football, or berries.com, use the code Ross Tucker. Keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.